We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Final hour of the program means the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. You know how we do it on Fridays? We haven't done this in a long time. Get the dance party going. Chuckery always gets the first request. A little Frankie Beverly and Maze for you. Right there you are, man. 404-741-0929. Solomon Bros. Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app as I catch us on the go. Put that on one of your devices today, right? The smartphone, the Alexa speakers, tablet, boombox, 8-track player, Walkman, Sega Genesis. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Hit us up on our personal Twitter pages. Don't forget, we got Rank'em coming up in about 40 minutes, so hit us up with your list. I saw several that were rolling in earlier. Hit us up at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass, Jarvis is producing the show at JarvisD90. I'm just enjoying some Frankie Beverly there. Like, yeah. Oh, Lordy. Sometimes in life, it's all about timing, right? Anyway, so... All right, speaking of timing, it's time to get to our NFL Squib Kick.
Taking a look at the NFL with the Squib Kick with John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
So it looks like there'll be no charges brought up against Aaron Donald is what we're hearing, as there has been, I guess, a video that's going to be released, and you can see Aaron Donald is not the actual person who's beating up this guy, who, by the way, took a good beating out of all of it. He definitely took a good beating for all of it. Casey White, an attorney hired by Donald, represented following allegations involving that were levied against him on Wednesday, told ESPN that DeVincent Springs swung a bottle at Donald that grazed his head as he ducked before other people surrounding Donald stepped in. As he ducks, somebody from behind grabs him to stop him from interacting with the guy, Mr. Springs, so he holds Aaron back in a sense. At that point, that's when other people came to Aaron's aid and defend him by removing, so to speak, Mr. Spriggs from the area where he is punched and he is fighting. It's a mutual fight at this point between other individuals who Aaron does not really know. So they've got five witness accounts in Donald that Donald eventually helped pull people away from Spriggs. Aaron actually runs over to Spriggs' aid and starts pulling people off. This guy is trying to get these kids off Spriggs. He gets at least two or three people off Spriggs at that point in time. Somebody grabs Aaron and says, this is not a good situation. Let's get the heck out of here. So, look, wrong place, wrong time. A guy comes after you, and that's what happens out there. But like I said, the guy took a good beating. If you look, you can see he got pummeled pretty good. But, by the way, what do you think is going to happen? You do something like that to an NFL player. Like, you get what you got coming to you at that point. I got no sympathy for you.
And think about it like this, too. It's always some people that, because he was in his hometown, he grew up in Pittsburgh, so some people there that know him.
Yeah,
and they,
of course,
they're going to protect him
mm-hmm.
because, you know, and he probably don't even know some of them. Like I said, the story doesn't say he don't know some of those guys.
You guarantee you got some random people that, you know.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, man, look, like, don't leave him alone. Mm-hmm. Like, that's our guy, you know, hometown guy, man.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Again, looks like no charges will be held up against him, obviously. for all of this. And again, another one of those situations where has anybody ever heard of one thing Aaron Donald's done outside of football that's been a problem? But anyway, you get some of that. You get some of these guys that just they don't understand. Now, this is interesting. Marshawn Lynch, who, by the way, just got done interviewing Dr. Fauci. By the way, you can see that interview. Because they talk about, like, people that don't want the vaccine or something like that or whatever. But anyway. Marshawn Lynch, back in December, I guess was on with Conan O'Brien, okay? And said that he would unretire for a contender and that there were some teams that had shown interest. Well, now we get a little bit more news on that. So supposedly, quote, I was specifically speaking to Tom Brady and the Bucks. That's who I was talking to. This coming from Marshawn Lynch, who told ESPN. He was on JoeBucksFan.com. Supposedly, he and Tom Brady had some conversations, and he was looking at – could you imagine if they'd have pulled Marshawn Lynch out of retirement? Now, they grabbed Leonard Fournette on September 7th, so that probably pretty well – because they had Ronald Jones already and everybody, so they were good at running back. But how crazy would that have been if they'd have pulled Marshawn Lynch out of retirement to bring him back in there and be a running back?
I'll take him on 31 over – probably about 75-80% of the running backs in the league.
That would have been fun. Like, I would have enjoyed having Marshawn Lynch back in the league and with that team and Tom Brady. Here's the thing. Does everybody understand? If you don't understand the respect level that Tom Brady has and what guys think about him in the league, you know, everybody wants to go play with Tom because they know if you go play with Tom, you got a chance to win. They know if you go with Tom, you're going to win. That guy, say what you will, you can like him, not like him, that's fine. He is a different animal altogether in the world of pro football. There is nobody like Tom Brady. There's nobody that guys rally around the idea of wanting to go play for like Tom Brady. Nobody. Not Aaron Rodgers, not anybody like Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady does something that everybody else doesn't do. He wins the Super Bowl. A guy wins it here, a guy may win it there. He wins it. He's won 13% of the Super Bowls played. He's won 13% of the Super Bowls that have been played in the NFL. Think about that. That may not sound like a lot, but you to be the winning quarterback on 13% of the Super Bowls that have been played, that's an absurd number. That would have been fun to see Marshawn Lynch come back into the league. We brought this up with Eric Edholm. Bill Belichick talking about the draft evaluation process in one of his press conferences here, talking about, well, you know, the evaluations, you know, it's definitely different, no question. We've had a lot of conversations about it. Anyway, though, but he goes into saying about, in some respects, the 19 film is probably better, more of an apples-to-apples comparison of where players were. But at the same time, we all know players get better with another year of experience. So there were a lot of players who improved from 19 to 20, as they normally do, and there were a lot of circumstances surrounding the 20 season. So it made the evaluation a little bit different, and you just have to try to figure out what you think a player can do for your team, what his role will be and rate of development, or what the process will be when you get him on your team. There's a little less information than we normally have, but all teams are working with the same level of information. And I brought this up just because it is fascinating about, think about how many guys that are going to get drafted really high that literally did not play college football last year. That literally did not. Now remember, Maurice Claret sat out a year, right, to go get drafted, right?
Yep, because he went try to go into the league when he was a sophomore.
Right,
yep.
Right. He tried to go after a couple of years, and he couldn't. So he sat out a year and then tried to go. The other guy who tried to do that was Mike Williams, the wide receiver out of Southern USC, Cal.
Yeah, because
he was the other guy who sat out for a year because he wanted. Because if those guys could have gotten drafted as sophomores, they'd have been drafted really high. Mm-hmm. Mike Williams was a beast at Southern Cal first couple of years. Was Carson Palmer the quarterback? It wasn't Matt Leinart. I think it was Carson Palmer that was the quarterback when he was there. But anyway, but think about how many guys are going to be top five. And it's not just some of the top guys like Caleb Farley, you know, Greg Rousseau, Parsons. You know, guys that are starting to move back in the first round. Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver out of Minnesota. You know, guys like that that are moving up. And think about how many guys don't have a lot of experience. We talked about Davis Mills. Talk about, you know, Trey Lance only got 17 starts for an FCS school.
Hey, one game last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, and the only reason he played one game was purposely to give him a showcase, you know, to show him to NFL teams last year.
There's a film out there.
Yeah. I mean, so, you talk about unprecedented with how, and this will be amazing. Look, guys will figure it out because they're star football players. But it will be fascinating to see 5 years from now who really emerges out of this draft class. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch guys 5 years from now as to, okay, who were the top picks? You know, who were the top, I should say more like, who were the top guys? Were the guys that didn't play their final year? Did they end up being really good NFL players? Or were all the best players guys that played, like Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence and guys like that? That's what will be fascinating about all of it. So, yeah, I think it's even more difficult than last year, even though, you know, we did get some college football to it, but we didn't get a full season. You didn't get out-of-conference play. You got very limited access. And, like, the Pac-12 only played 6 games for all of it. Now, 2 rules that are expected to go and not go. So it does look like the extra official rule that the Ravens have talked about, an extra booth official, it looks like that will pass. We've talked about that on this show. Mike Bell and I talked about it when I filled in. It looks like that's going to pass is going to be the rule about an extra official up in the booth to review and quickly help make determinations about some of the on-field plays. The rule that does not look like it will pass is going to be the 4th-and-15 alternate to the onside kick. Now, they do want to change up the end of game, and there is talk about, you know, maybe potentially moving players back a few yards on an onside kick or what have you. But there is some things that they want to look at potentially doing to the onside kick and give something different on, you know, trying to set up something. But the 4th-and-15 does not look like it's going to do it. So they say the competition committee is proposing to limit the receiving team to 9 players in the setup zone, hoping that could fix onside kick success rates. The setup zone is defined as the area between 10 and 25 yards from the spot of the kickoff, right? So we know, like, kickoffs have to travel at least 10 yards, okay? So what you'd be looking at is, from that 10-yard perspective to 25 yards back, you'd only be allowed, you'd only have 9 guys that would be available to you, right? So just trying to reduce the number of people in that area that would be available. Says currently receiving teams always put 10 or 11 players in the setup zone when you expect an onside kick. So basically, you know, you may put 10 guys up there with 1 guy deep, right? Or if it lines up as an onside kick, you just bring all 11 guys up into that zone, right? You cram the 10-yard line because the ball's got to travel. Now, here's the thing, though. Are they going to get rid of the... You really want to make the kick successful? Here's what you do to help make it more successful. You take away the fact that the receiving team can catch the ball inside of 10 yards. So the team that onside kicks it obviously has to wait for the ball to travel 10 yards before they can touch it. Make the receiving team not be able to touch it for 10 yards either. Because you can, right now, why would you not teach, if I'm on an onside kick, why would you not teach a guy to come up and just snatch the ball 5 yards in or whatever? All right, we get back. Let's hope that this is not going to be a repeat of last year for the Braves rotation. Talk some Braves baseball with you here on a late night Friday. Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios. Don't forget, rank him at 1040. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Odyssey.com app. Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Brownlicker Music Hour rolling right along. You know how we do it on Fridays. Get the dance party cranked up and going. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Be a part of the show that way. Odyssey.com app site catches on the go. What's the guy named? Carl Carlton? Is that who this is? Yeah. At JMCH316, at Jarvis D90, at 929 The Game. Hit us up with a rank 'em list. We've got several that are starting to come in here. Going to be doing that in about 20 minutes from right now. Don't forget, tomorrow morning from 9 till noon, myself, Chris Goforth, Randy Mack, special edition of College Football Game Time, as we get you ready for G-Day coming up tomorrow. Lots of SEC action coming up tomorrow. Lots of SEC spring football. So we got you all covered from 9 to noon tomorrow morning with the best college football show in America. Not just in Atlanta, in America. How about that? How you like that? I like them apples. Anyway, speaking of local, Atlanta Braves today, they win 5-2 over the Chicago Cubs. Braves headed up to Chicago after the four-game set finishing up here in Atlanta. Kyle Wright got the start today. It was fine. 4 1/3 inning, 2 earned runs. He didn't get the win, you know, but the Braves did win today. Why did Kyle Wright start? Because Drew Smyly had to go to the 10-day IL. And now that makes 60% of the Braves' starting rotation that is not available right now. Drew Smyly on the 10-day IL, Max Fried on the 10-day IL. Of course, Mike Soroka is still coming back from his injury from last year. And, of course, he had the setback. Well, I guess now it's been a couple of weeks now, I guess, since he had the setback. So we're in a situation again where, just like last year, it's, okay, who's healthy, who's available, who can we get to get out there? And look, Noah's done a nice job so far in his couple of starts, no doubt about it. But, you know, last year, obviously, the Braves were able to navigate their way through all this. Once Soroka went down with the ACL injury and none of the prospects worked out very well, Fulton Evich, Sean Newcomb, this, that, and the other, Tukey, whatever you want to throw out there. And it was Max Fried and a cast of characters, really, until Ian Anderson came along and gave them at least one more starter. Cole Hamels never got anything going. 3 innings last year is all he got out of it. You're getting guys like Josh Tomlin that are making those, what do they call it? They're not starting pitchers. They're like, what do they call them? Opening pitcher or whatever it is, that term that they use, right? An opening pitcher, you know, is what they call it. So we're back in a situation where we're fighting lots of injuries. Now, last year you could navigate your way through that because you had a 60-game season. So even with Max Fried, at least you know that you had, you know, 20% of your starts covered and you could figure some other things out, you know, from there. But now you got a full 162 and you've got both your top young guys that you believe, Soroka and Fried, that are out. You have your highest-priced pitcher that's out right now. Let's hope the Braves can get healthy, and let's hope that this is not going to be another one of those 162 of lingering injuries and trying to figure some things out. Now, look, they're hoping Smiley only misses maybe one or two starts before he comes back. You know, Fried had the hamstring, you know, on a base running. Although I will say this, don't think that a guy with a, you know, what did we say his ERA was, like 11 ERA, don't think that they're in some wink, wink, nudge, nudge about, hey, let's put you on the IL. Yeah, I know you got some hamstring tweak, but let's put you on the IL. Yeah, it's a 11.45 ERA for Max Fried, 11 innings pitched, 23 hits, 14 earned runs, and he's already given up 3 homers on the year in a year where he only gave up 2 home runs in almost, you know, 60 innings pitched last year. So look, it's a scary thought about having to just keep relying on the Kyle Wrights and the, you know, Huskar Noahs of the world. You don't want to have to continue to go. You don't want guys like that making 20 plus starts for you. I know it's been a good start for Noah, but let's face it, you don't want to have to rely on him making 20-some starts. Or, you know, seeing right now Kyle Wright have to make 20-some starts out of all of it. So one thing that is kind of scary is just for whatever reason, you know, we're back-to-back seasons of, okay, here we are early in the season, and we've already got 60% of the starting rotation out. And that's not even counting the fact that Chris Martin, you know, your top right-handed setup guy, is on the shelf. You know, he's on the 10-day IL, and you're having to call up guys here, there, and everywhere trying to figure some things out. And look, so far there's been some good things out of the bullpen. You know, even Will Smith, who did pick up a save today, you know, he's been a little bit up and down. I mean, perfect example is what happened today. He picked up the save, and he didn't give up any runs, and he didn't give up any hits, but he walked three guys. So he loaded the bases, but he struck out three guys, so he struck out the side to go along with it. So you get the good of the, you know, okay, you can say, all right, he came in for an inning, no hits, no runs, struck out the side. Oh, that's pretty good. Except he walked three guys, loaded the bases up in a 5-2 game, which means that the winning run, which at one point was Jock Peterson, who was up, the winning run was at home plate. Not exactly ideal for how you want your closer to be handled out there, which now gives Will Smith in seven innings, you know, he's walked five guys in seven innings. That ain't good. You know, four hits and five walks in seven innings, not exactly where you want him to be just yet, but he did have the three strikeouts. So now he's got 12 strikeouts in seven innings. So, look, when he makes outs, it's going to be with no contact. But still, it's a little bit like, okay, you don't want to play with that kind of fire. And, by the way, the Cubs have been stinking it up offensively. So the Cubs' offense has been awful. I think Chris Bryant's hitting like .240, and I think he leads their team in batting average. Baez hasn't ever bounced back. Hayward is, at this point, just a defensive-minded player is all he is. So let's hope the Braves can maybe – I'd love to see Sweet, but certainly got to get at least two out of three in a good start, you know, to today. But you do have some concerns about, okay, when can we start to get some guys back and healthy, and let's see what these guys can do. Because I want to see what Max Fried is going to be like for an entire season. So far it's been, you know, lackluster would be a very charitable word to use for Max Fried. Even when he was pitching, it wasn't very good. That's why I say I wonder if maybe a little bit that there is a little bit of gamesmanship, if you will, that, yeah, okay, there's a hamstring issue, but hey, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and just sit this out for, because listen, I'll be surprised if Max Fried comes back immediately off from the 10-day IL. Wouldn't be surprising to me if they said, well, we're going to give it maybe one more week. Let's give it maybe one more start, and then we'll figure it out from there. Let's just give this thing one more start before we bring him back through all of it. Because they need Max Fried to get himself back on. Drew Smyly, I don't know what to tell you. He's not been great. He's already hurt. Feels like another one of those things that, okay, here we are with a guy who's making more money than every other pitcher, starting pitcher you have combined. They love the analytics, and there are some good things. You know, he's got 11 strikeouts in 11 innings. That's good, right? Except that he's given up three homers and seven earned runs in those 9 innings, or 11 innings, excuse me. That's not so good. So the analytics, you know, are great on some things, but bottom line result of, you know, 5.73 ERA and three homers in 11 innings, not exactly where you want him to be. And I don't think that Drew Smyly is a 200-inning pitcher to start with. He's never been a 200-inning guy, so why would he start now with all of it? But I don't know. We'll see. It is a little bit disconcerting that, you know, a dozen games into the season and the Braves are already down 60% of their starting rotation. That the only, you know, other than Charlie Morton and Ian Anderson, that's the only two guys that you know, have made their been able to stay healthy through this first part of the stretch out of all of it. Ronald Acuna, by the way, 1-for-4 with a run, a couple of RBIs today. He was terrific again today. He's having just such a monster start to the season. He's now up to 16 RBIs. I think he leads the major leagues in RBI already. He's been phenomenal. And look, you'd like to see a couple of guys get hot along with him. Ozuna's finally starting to get a little bit of things figured out. He was 3-for-5 with an RBI today. He's now up over 200 on the season. Freddie, 1-for-3 with a run, couple of walks. He's at 200 for the season. Darno still struggling at 222. He went 1-for-5 today. Ozzy took a ball. Snicker said in the post-game conference that ball that Ender took was off his calf. He had to leave and Kung Fu Panda was into pinch run. Think about that. You had to have Kung Fu Panda come in and pinch run. And by the way, they did bring Kaharga up, so he's on the roster now. So he was in today because he came in because Ender got hurt as well in that game. He had to come out in that game on a base running deal. I think it was him going to second to third on a base running play, and not been the best of starts for Ender. Although he was one for two today, so he's hitting .294 on the season, which is pretty good compared to most of the other guys on this squad. Anybody outside, you know, Ronnie Swanson's at .196. Albie's at .157, Darno's at .222, Ozuna's at .204, Freddie's at .200. So outside of what Ronnie's doing, I mean, you know, and Sandoval's been good too. By the way, did you see Sandoval with three pinch hit home runs? I think he's only one or two pinch hit home runs away from tying the Braves franchise record in a season. Crazy to think about him having already three pinch hit home runs this year. And I'll be curious to see, depending on what Austin Riley does, you know, they had, Adrianza playing third base today. They didn't have – Riley did come in and pinch hit, but he wasn't starting at third base today. So I'll be curious to see if, you know, maybe they mix in a couple of these other guys at third base a little bit. Just give Riley a day off here, maybe a day off here, not platooning and not removing him. You know, he's still your main regular everyday starter, but you mix in an occasional start a little bit, maybe a little bit more frequently than what you'd probably planned on, because there's no reason, if Riley's healthy and producing, no reason to bring him out of the lineup, even playing at third base. No reason to bring him out. He's young and durable, and he's, you know, a good defensive player, so probably a better defensive player than some of the other guys that you have out there. So no real reason to pull him out of all of it, so... Braves back at it tomorrow. Let's see what they can get going on. But sure would be nice to get some of these pitchers back healthy. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, man, they start to get some of these guys back. And they'll start to see some guys come back healthy and ready to go. All right, we get back. It'll be time for Rank 'Em. A little bit of fun on a Friday. Well, next, Chuck, we're hanging out with you. To the top of the hour in JR Sports Brief. Sports Radio, and the game, and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. Headed to the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief coming up next. 404-741-0929. Follow my Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of this show. A little fantasy here. Odyssey.com app site, catch us on the go. Social media 92.9 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Got lots coming in on text line, Twitter. Everything's starting to come in now. We used to have a little bit of fun on the weekends, picking Randy's brain, Hugh's brain, have a little bit of fun with the guys. And I'd give those guys a list of things to put in order. We decided to steal it, and we call this segment Rank 'Em.
Oh, man, it's a Friday. I got some IG model rankums, some you know what rankums, and I got some coming in from the text line.
Yeah, we got Twitter, yeah, text line. Actually, it's funny because I'm looking at the text line. There's several different phone numbers of people that, so we're getting a variety of people that are texting.
Oh, yeah, they rolling right on in. So let's get started.
Yep.
How about this from Rusty? He probably texted this one in at probably like 7:07. Yeah. So we appreciate you, Rusty, for texting on the text line. The Solomon Brothers Apology Diamond text line. There we go.
Yeah. Right.
VCR, Atari, cassette player, CD player. Rank them.
Give me the Atari 1, CD player 2.
Okay.
Because I'm a music guy, first and foremost. Gotcha. VHS 3, And what was the one that I missed there?
VHS cassette player.
Cassette player, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No love for the cassette player?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things that, man, those things just wore out so fast.
Yeah,
I had so many cassette, you know, like playing those cassettes in the car, I was guaranteed to lose two or three of those things because I'd pull it out and that stupid thing would just catch on it and the whole thing would get yanked out and you'd have to, they were just cassette. Cassettes were great for a while, but they just became too much work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was just
especially
a lot of work.
Especially record some. Oh, good Lord.
God, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
yeah. You had to have two different things playing at the same time. Yeah. Just.
I mean, that, I mean, that, yeah, it was way too difficult.
You have to rewind the joint with your finger and all that stuff.
Yep.
And
yep.
You know, they rewind with the finger of the tape. You know, that taught you how to do some other stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, man. You know.
Dial the phone?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. The phone. Dial the phone. Dial it up. Get it going. Get it popping off. How about this one? Now, before I say this list, now these are guys that were colleagues of ours, and you know, we love these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, from the former Midday Show. Yeah. Love these guys.
I saw the list.
Yeah. So, hey, we're gonna rank them. Rick Kamler, Paul Bible, John Michaels, Mark Owens. Rank them.
Well, John's my guy, man. I'm John Michaels.
Oh, John Michaels,
So,
yeah.
JM number one.
Okay.
I go Mark Owens two.
Okay.
Rick three. And just to screw with Paul, Paul goes fourth.
Yeah. Man, did you say screw Paul? Dang, I didn't know you felt like that. God,
he, no. Listen, next time you see Paul, ask him about Paul and I getting yelled at for taking the kids. Taking the last piece of cake or whatever.
At the party.
At CCV's, what was it?
It's a quinceañera for his
quinceañeros.
For his oldest one. Yeah,
for his quinceañeros, the 15th birthday party.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, I'm going to bet you that. Or about the time that y'all about to get in a fight or somebody got into, almost got to a fight.
The guy come over and confronted us,
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All of y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Man. I must have been on some good liquor courage that night. This is another one from the text line. This is an interesting one because I'm interested to see how you rank these restaurants. Applebee's, Buffalo Wild Wings, otherwise known as B-Dubs, Taco Mac, Chili's. Rank them.
Taco Mac 1. I love their smoked wings.
Yeah, tremendous. Man. Solid.
Yeah.
The homemade blue cheese. Oh, man.
Love their smoked wings.
Yeah, buddy.
Give me, let's see, you said Chili's, Applebee's, and what was the other one?
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Give me Chili's 2.
Okay.
Buffalo Wild Wings 3. You can miss me with Applebee's.
Yeah, man. That's a hard sell. If I have to order off the appetizer menu every time I go there,
Are they a sponsor?
I don't think so.
Okay.
As far as I know.
That's one of the more overrated. Like, they're advertised. They're like Red Lobster. The stuff that they show you on TV never comes out looking like that. like you go to Applebee's and you're like, oh man, look at all this food you get, this, that, and the other. You go there and it's like, oh, that's real, that's what you actually get?
The old bait and switch, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like Red Lobster. They make Red Lobster look better than anything in the world when you see it on TV. Then they bring it out to your plate and you're like, oh, that's all that I get. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
But the picture on the TV Look,
man, that burger was a lot bigger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. What happened? Here we go. Get your Google ready.
Yep.
All right. Now, these are all one word.
Okay.
Jen Selter. Jen.
J-E-N-S-E-L-T-E-R.
Yep.
Yeah. I see a picture of her.
Okay. All right. And Tammy Hembrow.
With a Y or I?
With a Y. H-E-M-B-R-O-W.
H-E-M-B-R-O-W?
Yes.
Okay,
one word.
Yep.
All right. I am Yanet Garcia.
I am, what is it?
Yanet. Janet with a Y.
Y-A-N-E-T Garcia?
Yes. All one word.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. That's an interesting name, but okay.
Yep, Barry. And lastly, Jessica Wild with an E. Jessica Wild with an E. Rank them.
Okay. Let's see here. She's got a lot of tattoos at Jessica Wild.
Oh, yeah. Last name is fitting, I believe.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I tell you what, give me. Give me I am Yanet Garcia 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's going to go 1.
Number 1 on the charts. All right,
gotcha. Give me Jessica Wilde, because I got a feeling she is that, number 2.
Intrigued. All right, gotcha.
Give me Jen Selter 3.
Okay.
And Tammy Hembro goes 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Not enough for Tammy, huh?
She, how do I say? I'm not going to say. I'm not going to drop too much. I mean, she's attractive. Listen.
You got to break it down, man. Yeah, it's a competition out there. Yeah. All right. So you're number 4. How about this one? Stay on the Google A. Mariah_blue. M-A-R-I-Y-A-H.
Oh, wait. M-A-R-I-Y-A-H. Uh-huh.
B-L-E-U.
Okay. Let's see. I think let's see if it pulled her up. But
okay. Mariah_blue.
Yep, got her.
All right.
He's a biggin'.
Yeah, they coming. Mm-hmm. Heather_Nicole_Lewis.
Heather_Nicole_Lewis,
yep.
Okay, got her.
The Sexy Creative. 1 word.
The Sexy what?
Creative.
Creative.
Yes.
Okay. The Sexy Creative. Uh-huh. Where do these people come up with these names?
I don't know, man. Hey, man.
Good Lord.
Gotta be different, man.
She's a real big one. Like, she looks like Nia Jax. No. Yikes.
Nia Jax. All right, last but not least, Chill Tina X. Chill Tina X. Rank them.
Just like the letter X?
Yeah, the letter X. Yep. Uh-huh.
Chill Tina X?
Yeah. Chill Tina X.
I think she's got to go number 1.
Yeah, number 1 on the charts, man. Yeah,
she's definitely number 1.
All right.
She's at least got the good curvaceous.
Yeah.
Jeez. I guess give me Heather_Nicole 2.
Okay.
Give me Mariah_Blue 3.
Okay.
And that Sexy Creative is anything but. How about this? She's the ultimate false advertising name, I can tell you that. Her name is complete false advertising. Sorry. That's right. Wow. If we're playing that Who's the A-hole game, her name is every bit of false advertising. So.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lordy. There you go. That's a rank'em for a Friday evening. We'll get back. Time for the Love TKO. JR Sports Brief up next. Chuck, we're here for a few more minutes. Sports Radio Not the Game and the Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.